Habitat for Humanity of Greater Chattanooga helps low-income families build homes that they would not be able to afford on their own. A few months ago, Jens Christensen became Habitat's new president and CEO after David Butler retired. Jens worked for the Chattanooga Community Kitchen for 17 years, serving as its leader for the past seven. Jens, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations since we last spoke.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an honor to be named as the CEO of Habitat for Humanity here in Chattanooga. In a lot of ways, it's a great extension of the work I've been doing in homelessness for the last couple of decades. But it's the other side of the coin where I get to actually watch families not only work to build their own home, but get the keys to their own home.
What are some of the things that you are finding as you have shifted into this new role?
It's not that different from what I was doing before. There's still the social service element. There's still the element of helping people and working alongside people as they help themselves, really escaping poverty, looking forward to the future generations. I think with Habitat, the home ownership component, it's a game changer. I think we've all experienced during COVID, during this pandemic, the value of home, the importance of space. So many people that were stuck at home, they were working from home, their children were studying at home, schooling from home. If you think about that and you think about lack of adequate place to live, the space that you're staying in, you know, how important that is. I think I've really gotten to enjoy seeing some of the families recently. So the looks on their faces, the sounds from their children when they're actually getting the keys to their house, when they're finally there and they've realized what many see as the American dream.
We've also seen how much tougher it is to buy a home one way or the other because, and this is not only Chattanooga, as you know, and as many people listening know, it's all over the country. You have inventory that is tight. You have rents going through the roof. You have companies with outside money pouring in and building new projects. All of these threads put a strain on the type of work that you and others at Habitat are committed to.
If you look at it in Chattanooga alone, there are estimates that it depends on which numbers you want to go with, but that we have a deficiency of between 4,000 and 7,000 affordable units of housing in the city of Chattanooga. This is a nationwide problem. It's a problem that, as you mentioned, it's made worse simply by people who are speculating in the real estate market. We look at the inflated rents, look at the inflated cost to purchase. They're all relative. And then also look at the inflated cost of materials. We were having a discussion about something I never thought we'd be talking about, that we're experiencing a shortage of insulation. So we use a very specific type of insulation to make our Energy Star compliance, and it's for crawl space spacing. And we can't find it right now because the demand is so high that people are taking any insulation they can get. Just don't think about that, do you?
Imagine that.
Bathtubs.
Yeah.
Simple commodities that we normally, you think you walk into a big box store and you purchase right off of the floor. Windows are taking 16 to 20 weeks in some cases just to be ordered and made and brought in. And these are the normal ones that you would get off the shelf.
So how are you trying to adjust given where the supply chains are, given where the demand is?
That's a great question. There's a lot of pre-ordering that's happening, but it is a commodity. You have to think about the fact that prices fluctuate. And you see this, and you know there's an appreciation for the fact that lumber has more than quadrupled in cost over the last year, year and a half. And we're hoping those costs will come down, but you do have to think, all right, do we focus more on rehab? Do we focus more on helping people stay in the homes that they're in and cleaning those homes up? Do we focus on alternative construction? You know, we're looking at 3D options. We're looking at all the different things that might create efficiency in building, because ultimately, if we can bring that cost down, we can help more people into home ownership. You mentioned a minute ago when we were talking about affordable housing and just kind of the crisis that's being discussed across the country. It's certainly something that's not unique here. Fortunately, that brings a lot of innovation. We're looking out west where people are actually building 3D homes, 3D printed homes, or concrete infill homes, looking at things that are far less expensive to do. But it also brings the fact that there is this humanitarian crisis, if you will, that you look around and you couple that with the pandemic. And I keep going back to this, but home is the most important place in the world for most people. Rental affordability is a wonderful thing, but when you look at home ownership, you actually look at second generational poverty. You look at increasing educational opportunity. We have a family now that in 2019 got a home. And we have a testimony from the young man in that household now. He's completed his college education. He's looking at the fact that now he can actually move forward. He had a place to study, things like that. He had a place at the dining room table when he wanted to, in his own bedroom when he wanted to. And he credits having that home to his success. That's what home ownership creates. It's that opportunity for the family to literally rebuild their lives and create a new future. Other examples of that, if you look at sociological studies, you see that the incidence of criminal justice system involvement decline incredibly when homeownership is involved. You see that people are able to create a better income for themselves and, again, like I mentioned a moment ago, for their children. So you couple all of that, and I think it brings home for us the importance of home, of making sure that homeownership is an option and affordable housing is there, and it creates for us a drive to look into these innovations.
Which areas of the city face the most critical needs when it comes to the work that Habitat does?
If you look at the concentration of poverty, it is really in certain areas in Chattanooga. There's an argument to be said that affordable housing should be everywhere in Chattanooga. And there are a lot of things to think about with affordable housing. You don't just think about the cost of rent. You don't just think about the cost of purchase. You also need to think about the opportunity and the choice that that family and that household has. So in my point of view, I don't think we should be focusing on just any one part of the community. We need to be focusing on the community as a whole so that we allow families to have a choice of school system, a choice of social mobility, so that if they want to live in a certain area, they're comfortable in that area, or if they simply want to stay where they grew up, they should have that choice, because I think it all goes to the social equation as to what will create success for that household. And realistically, I think that family needs a choice. They need to be part of that decision and that process. But when you look also at the concentration of poverty, you do start to recognize certain zip codes, certain areas in Chattanooga that definitely are in much, much greater need. I think we can look at Ridgedale, we can look at Orchard Knob, we can look at East Chattanooga, Alton Park. You can see areas that are historically developed, but that have a much, much lower concentration of income and oftentimes a much, much higher concentration of outside ownership. This is something that's a tremendous issue with affordable housing, because you have speculators come in and they purchase. They may live across the country. They may be part of an LLC that is owned here in Tennessee, but is realistically owned by partners from across the country, California, LA. It's going to be New York, Florida. We're seeing a lot of Georgia and Florida people that are coming in, and they're seeing an opportunity here. And then they are driving rents higher and higher, or they're driving the price of sales higher and higher. Again, couple that with the pandemic and the value of that space, and we start to see more and more people wanting to purchase for their own home ownership, and demand is at an all-time high, really edging people out of the market. One of the biggest things I think organizations like Habitat can do is we can actually drive the cost for affordability down. We can keep it where people can achieve that, and we can also create mechanisms that encourage people to be able to move into the conventional mortgage market in the future, and therefore we can look at ways that more and more people can access affordable housing using the same invested dollars earlier on. And I think you mentioned a moment ago, what are some of the things that are happening to try to encourage that? There are discussions around things like community land trusts, things like cooperative ownership, where you have a co-op where there's an equity stake in it, but it is still contained to affordability. There are multifamily units that can be constructed or renovated or rehabbed. So there are a lot of innovative ways to look at that. And I think we're in a great position right now with the mayor that we have, the city council that we have, the county in general. People are willing to talk about alternative ways to create affordability. And of course, at Habitat, we're talking about alternative ways to create affordability with that ability to build some equity so that you do have an ownership stake. You do have a future that actually helps change the trajectory of your family, where you can build an element of wealth.
Coming from Community Kitchen, as you do, and settling into your role at Habitat, how do you see the problem of homelessness in this city, and what role do you see Habitat in helping with that problem, even if it's as a partner with other organizations?
Well, that's a great statement. Partnership is so important when we look together. I think there's a collective effort that people need to work together, and everyone has a role. The city has a role. The county has a role. Numerous organizations have a role. There's no question that over the past 5 to 8 years, homelessness has actually gotten significantly more difficult, become more of a problem in Chattanooga than it had been before. A lot of that is policy failure, but a lot of it also is just an increased need. And I think when we look at it, Habitat really is the same coin, just the other side of what I was doing at the Community Kitchen for the last almost 20 years. The work of the Community Kitchen is incredibly important because it is work where people start off at the beginning on ground zero, literally, with homelessness, and then they move, hopefully, into self-sufficiency. With Habitat, it's that next step where you actually empower someone to become a homeowner, to develop wealth in a different way. Historically, the model, however, has really focused on people that are at 70% of AMI, which is the adjusted median income, 70%, 80%, sometimes up as high as 90%. most of the folks that are experiencing homelessness will fall into the 30% or below. And there really needs to be a look at ways, and that's where some of those alternative means come in, where you might have a co-op or you might have a land trust where there is a vehicle to allow someone who does not have that high of an income to begin developing an equity stake, having ownership, and moving forward. And I think that the creative solution is realistically when those agencies, the groups, the government, everyone comes together, they talk about the big elephant in the room, which is affordable housing is not becoming any more affordable. The cost to construct continues to go up. The need continues. If we have, say, let's go with a low number. If we have 4,000 units that need to be created in Chattanooga, we've got to work now and we've got to work quickly. And it's going to take, I'm a big fan and advocate of home ownership, but it is going to take a mixture. It's going to take an approach where there are multiple types of housing available, multiple paths into affordability, and of course, supportive services to surround some of the folks that are experiencing homelessness or might have greater need involved as well.
What projects or efforts do you already have on the calendar there at Habitat as we look at the rest of this year?
Right now, we're in the middle of two homes that we're building. We have a third one slated where a family just picked out the lot. These are in the Villages currently down in Alton Park. Beautiful homes, very pretty. It's really, for me, the lifeblood of what Habitat does. It's the heart, okay? I was lucky to step into a group of people that already had a group or a program going on called the Orchard Knob Collaborative, which is an incredible program where it's actually driven, and this is what's so pretty about it, so beautiful. It's driven by a woman named Marvine, who is the head of the Neighborhood Association in Orchard Knob. They are then helping us select the programs and the projects that we're going to work on. The Neighborhood Association is telling Habitat, telling Tom Osborne over at Park Ridge, telling the other partners, Green Spaces, the Y, the groups that are involved, what they want, what they need. And then we're in there working with them together. So that's really a very cool thing. That one, however, is home repair streetscapes. It's actually kind of a neighborhood revitalization type program. We're hoping to do more of that. We're looking into other opportunities. We have a program right now called Aging in Place, which helps people that are aging in their own home stay in their own home and adapt that home to be a nicer place for them as they grow older in that space. It does a lot of things that are very basic, like rebuild or replace a roof. And then it also does things like adapt the bathroom to be handicapped accessible or build a ramp so that someone can get into their home and they can stay in it. In addition to that, we partner with the City of Chattanooga in home repair programs, which are basic critical repairs to bring homes up to speed. Sometimes it's hard to look forward, but you can look back. At this point, we've done 294 homes that we'll have completed by the end of the year since Habitat was created in Chattanooga. And we've done about 120 of these home repair style homes, you know, where we bring things up and do critical repair and make sure that people have a decent place to live.
And if people want more information, if they are looking for help, if they want to give help, where can they go online? Where can they call?
So they can visit our website, habitat.org. It's H-A-B-I-C-H-A-T-T. So Habitat Chattanooga, Habitat. org and learn more about it. And you know, one of the biggest challenges during the pandemic, talked about this a few times during this segment, is that realistically the cost to construct continues to increase exponentially in most cases. The need continues to increase, the value on home, all of those things. It's so much more apparent. But then there are also folks that are struggling because of the pandemic. So the expense, it's there, the need is there, but the funds are not often there. So we are always looking for corporate partners, for individuals, for people that want to volunteer, assist our families getting into home ownership. They can learn about it on that site. They can also call us, 756-0507. They can visit us on Facebook, of course. And you know, we have all the social media. It's available right through our website, the easiest place to find it. And we are always looking for volunteers.
All right. Jens, thanks so much.
Thank you.